Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. Greg, how's it going?
I am in an extra good mood today.
Is that because you played golf? Did you go and hit balls? You were going to go do that with your daughter, right?
I did. And that's one of the best things that the two of us do is we love going out to the range or the course and playing golf together. And today we went to the range and it was okay. So this is really interesting. Like I would tell her like how to improve her swing, stuff like that. Right. And I said, you know what? Give me your phone real quick. And I recorded her and did a little video of her in fast motion first. And then we watched it together and I pointed out, okay, look here, your right elbow is getting a little too far away. Oh, okay, I don't want to get too technical here. Otherwise, it's going to turn into a golf show, right? But then we did it in slow motion. And we broke it down kind of frame by frame. And she totally saw it. She like the light bulb went off in her head. Nice. She saw it in her brain. She goes, oh, that's what you're trying to say to me? And I go, yeah, you see it now? And she goes, yes. And immediately she took that visual recognition of where her swing was and she corrected it, like her very next swing. She corrected the problem.
Nice. I should probably start doing that.
You have to have somebody to tell you what you're doing wrong. Otherwise, you're looking at what you're doing wrong and go, well, why is this wrong? Right? I don't know.
True.
It's just not going where you want it to go.
Yeah. Well, I did that same thing actually recently for a presentation that I did. I wasn't sure like, is this going to be good? Is this going to be bad? Like, how is it? I recorded the whole thing. And then afterward, well, it pretty much just deleted it because I wasn't happy with the presentation. But I think it's a great way to look at these things afterwards and kind of, you know, Monday morning quarterback yourself a little bit or look at the tape and see like, okay, is this good? Is this bad? So it's kind of cool. Maybe I do need to do that for my golf swing.
Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience today, it worked with my daughter.
Okay, so is that why you're in the good mood today? You got to go play
golf? Yes, because we like accomplished. We felt good. We both walked away going, we're going back tomorrow. We're going to hit more balls tomorrow and work on it even more. It got her really motivated to go back. Yeah.
Nice. I thought you would be in a good mood, not just because of that, but because I get to talk about improv and you get excited when I get to talk about improv. And that's part of what we're going to talk about today. Because I don't know, how many times have I mentioned improv on this show, you think?
Well,
episode where I haven't?
Well, that's what I was going to say. We've done 52 shows, so I'm thinking at least 52 times.
Well, it's amazing how much improv comes into life. The Memorial Day weekend, a couple of weeks ago, I woke up on Friday, right? And I'm like, it's Friday. What day is it? Is it Friday? Is it Wednesday? What day is it? I was actually a little bummed out that it was a Friday before a 3-day weekend because it wasn't Wednesday night. And that's Wednesday night is when I go do improv. So I was actually like bummed because I was thinking, oh, maybe it's Wednesday. Nope, it's not. But today we have a very special guest. We have, he's not only my improv coach, professor, I'm going to go with professor, doctor. I don't know. He'll be one of these, but he teaches me improv and he's the one that puts the whole class together, but he also does something else and we'll get into that. But first of all, Drew, Drew Mayer, thank you for joining us today. Improv Marin, by the way, is the company. I got to throw that out there. Drew, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for us and Greg.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. Improv is not like what you're doing during the day. You're actually doing something else, a visual graphic design. Like, how do you describe this? How do you describe what you do for these companies?
There are a few different names for it, but I refer to it as visual practice. There can be graphic facilitation, graphic recording. These are all words in the biz.
Okay.
Most of what I do is graphic recording, and that's where I put up a large sheet of paper, maybe 4 by 8 feet, on a board, and I sit with pens and some other art supplies. And I listen to meetings or listen to speakers and try to visually capture the essence of the content.
And now how much do you get involved into the conversation? Like, you're listening to it, you're documenting, you're doing all these things. Like, do you start asking questions for clarification, or what's your involvement in the meeting?
It's funny. So initially, when I started doing this, I was very shy. Like, I mean, some of it was when I started out, I didn't necessarily understand the content, which is kind of a cool thing about this practice, is you don't actually have to be an expert in what you're capturing to capture it. But after many years of doing this, not only have I feel like I have a crash course in marketing and business, just from being in all these high level meetings that I'm in. But I also just feel more comfortable, you know. They want me to capture the session. The people are interested in me capturing content. And so for me to ask a question, it just feels like I'm doing it in service of what they've asked me to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. I was actually going to ask the same question. You stole my question there. Right. you do this for big companies. Is this something where, you know, like in a meeting, right? Like you do see people kind of just doodling and whatnot. Like they're kind of like just not listening and they're doodling. You're actually like, I've seen some of your work that you've put together and it's amazing. Like these are pieces of art that you can put up. What is what are you trying to get, or what are they trying to get out of this when they're putting all this together? Are they just trying to see all of the ideas, or what are they trying to capture exactly?
Right. Well, first, I have to push back on your "you see people just doodling" comments.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think that doodling during a meeting or during a talk, I think it can be really helpful. I think sometimes it occupies a part of your brain. It can put you in a bit of a hypnotic state so that things can flow more easily. You know, often I think doodling can be related to what you're hearing. So I'm a big advocate for, you know, doodle during meetings. You know, whether you feel like your doodling is related to the content, like note taking doodling, but also just doodling. I think it can calm you and kind of put you in a trance that may make you absorb more content.
Yeah, but
and then your other question.
Yeah, what you're doing though, it's an art. I mean, like it's
sure
it's amazing these things that you're doing.
Right, right. Yeah, I like I said, I encourage people to take visual notes. It's not about aesthetics. You know, if you just draw a stick figure, if you just draw a box and label it, you know, you're starting to access some of the benefits of visual thinking. But for me, you know, I add aesthetics to it because I'm getting paid to do this and it's fun and I enjoy that. And so so why do people hire me? One, yeah, I'll just kind of list off a bunch of things. Often these are really high level executives in these meetings. They're really busy. And so the hosts of a meeting, if it's a series of talks, or if it's, you know, meetings around a specific initiative, usually it's pretty intense. The day is pretty packed because they want to be really efficient with the participants' time. And so what happens is you kind of get a fire hose of information. It's things move really very quickly. And so I think one of the benefits for having me capture a meeting is afterwards, maybe when things are kind of settled down, you can go back and review some of the moments that maybe went really quickly. I would say even within during the session, sometimes you start off with goals. Here's what we want to have by the end of the day. And then you kind of dive in and things get crazy, ideation happens. It can be nice to have a visual anchor in the room of, mm-hmm. Hey, wait, what did we start off the day, wanting? Where did we all start? And so often in these sessions, on breaks and at lunch, for example, people will gather around what I've captured, to just kind of review and comment, sometimes correct my spelling mistakes. I'm pretty good at spelling, but I'm also working really fast.
Right.
And then sometimes a speaker will come in and they're not there for the whole day and they may want to get an idea of, reading the room, what's been happening. And so often, they'll come and in the moments before they're on, they'll be looking at what I captured to try to get up to speed.
I would think that when you're kind of after a session, like when maybe you're breaking for lunch and people are looking at it and you have a chance to kind of look at it, do you ever get to some of the key stakeholders during that break and say, you know what, I didn't want to interrupt where you guys are going, but, did you think about this? Or, could you expand on this? Because it looked like you're going a certain direction and you're really moving forward and then somebody kind of distracted you and kind of took a right-hand turn somewhere. And if you follow through, do you ever have that type of involvement to help them facilitate and follow through with an idea?
It depends on my relationship with the client. There's some clients who maybe trust my experience and maybe know that maybe I have more to offer. And then there's other clients that maybe see me as a glorified note taker. I would say most of my clients understand that in order for me to do what I do, I'm pretty immersed in the content and I can provide an outside perspective. But it's also like, it's not about me. So it's not something I expect.
The point that I thought of when you were kind of talking about that is I know for myself, when I'm in meetings, sometimes, you kind of expect people to know what you're thinking and stuff, right? But when there's an outsider listening to you and listening to the conversation of your team, sometimes it's really enlightening to hear their feedback because they go, you know what? Maybe the public won't understand where you're going with this because I don't understand where you're going with this, right? And having that feedback sometimes will help me go, you're right. We're talking a different language. We got to talk the public's language. We got to talk our client's language, whoever our audience is. And I think sometimes having that new face, new eyes, new ears, hearing all this, then you visualizing it, you have a really unique point of view that could be really useful for people.
Well, Greg, you're kind of my ideal participant because that's because the times that I have these kinds of conversations that you're talking about, it's usually initiated by a client. I'm working for some big tech companies, and these are people with a lot of status and a lot of experience. I'm in a weird position because I've captured so many of these sessions. I feel like I do have some insights, but there's kind of no reason for them to know that too. Mm-hmm. And so I think the times it comes up are maybe on the breaks where I'm just standing there and maybe they're asking me about something or they're having a conversation. That's a time where I strategically might chime in if I felt something urgent, if I felt like, I really think they should know this. But I never want to overstep. That's
sure. Well,
I would imagine too, you're probably under some pretty heavy non-disclosures because you're in these high level meetings. There's things that you can't disclose anywhere else. Or you don't want to, if you're at one tech company and then you go to the competitor tech company, you can't say something. So there's got to be that little thought, I guess, inside your head as well.
Right.
Yeah, or now I just really now I just totally frightened you, perhaps.
oh no! Wait a minute. No, that's usually made very clear, you know, at the outset. And it's going to just depend. There's some sessions that are I've captured some sessions for Google News, and those, at least one of them, was a little more public facing, you know, and so you know, and I've captured talks for Mozilla, and you know, and I always check with the client, you know, unless it's, I mean, sometimes they are public events, you know,
right?
But so it's all over the map, and then sometimes it's like after a year, you know, it doesn't matter. It's kind of I mean, I still check with clients. If I can't reach a client, I'll just make sure the resolution is so low that you can't read anything, but you can kind of still see like the, you know, some of the aesthetic, you know.
Well, I would think too that unless you were at that meeting, you know, because it's sort of like, I would say like the picture speaks a thousand words, right? Like you're doing this and then you're at the meeting and it's like, oh yeah, we were talking about this and we talked about this. And so it's kind of that visual roadmap or visual mind map roadmap. like a little bit of both, I guess, for those that attended.
I like both of those.
Okay.
Those both work for me. And there is kind of an esoteric part of this.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know clients will take like maybe a group, they couldn't send their whole team out for a workshop or, you know, a meeting, but the group that was there, they're going back, they're going to try to, you know, recreate or share these ideas. And so that's a time where I'll say, use what I created as a storyboard and you can walk through what happened with this group. And I know several, that happens, you know, often in those situations where a whole team couldn't come out.
Right. Right. Yeah. I could see how that would be helpful as well. All right. We've got to continue the conversation at some point. Also, we have to touch on improv because, you know, I do every episode. So we'll get to that eventually on the show here. And we'll have more while talking with Drew right after this. Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. Hey, we're a part of the Best Business Network. Be sure to go check out that website, Best Business Network. It's fantastic. Lots of great podcasts. Not just podcasts. We've got like authors on there. We talked in a previous episode about some of their books that have come out. Just fantastic. Go visit these podcasts. Check them out, of course, after you've listened to all 52 or so of ours, because, you know, that's the prerequisite for all these other podcasts.
Please.
We're also part of – right? You got to.
Yeah.
We're also part of Electricast Media, electricast.com, for great podcasts. Like, there's sports podcasts on there. Like, there's a bunch of new sports podcasts on there for you to go check out if you don't want to always just listen to business. Well, hey, there's all kinds of stuff for you over on Electricast. And you know what? I plugged Improv Marin because I love Improv Marin and I'm there every Wednesday night. If you want to stalk me, that's where you go. But if you're a beginner, you don't go Wednesday nights, you go Thursday nights. But anyway, that's a whole different topic that we can, you know, get into as we go here. But what we didn't plug was Drew's illustration website. So meritillustration.com, is that where they go if they wanted to have you come in? And did I get that correct or did I mess that up?
You got it right, Russ. Meritillustration.com.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. See, all this practice of
all right. I just got plugged.
All this practice of just reading stuff that I just wrote. All right. So we've been talking about all these, like, you know, visualizations that you're creating, and you know, the whole picture speaks a thousand words thing. One thing that I'm amazed at is how good these look and how fast, like, you're doing this, right? Like, so you're moving pretty fast and they come out looking great. Now, if a business owner is trying to do this, they're trying to kind of sort of, you know, just replicate what you're doing and sort of just visualize in a meeting, like, they don't really have to worry about looks. You said just, you know, do some stick figures and whatnot. But what's sort of the, are there rules to this? Are there things that they should be thinking about when they're trying to put together something like this for their own meetings?
Well, there are some great books and resources on, you know, learning skills, you know, visual thinking skills. This would be a great time to plug my book on visual thinking skills, except I haven't written it yet.
Oh, you gotta work on
yeah,
that.
So, yeah. So maybe but there's a lot of resources out there, you know, for the work I do. And I'm not sure if this is answering your question, but, I usually get a look at the agenda and I know how much space I capture in an amount of time. So okay. Like if I see an hour talk, I roughly know how much I am physically and mentally able to fill up space, you know, how much space I'll fill up in that time. And so I'll look at the agenda, I'll look at the goals and maybe even like the logo and the title of the event. And I'll often do just like a little thumbnail sketch of how I think this might work. Of course, I have to be ready to improvise. I have to be ready to kind of, you know, let go of the great thumbnail sketch idea I had. But that mm-hmm. helps me aesthetically kind of plan for how this will all come together at the end.
You know, it's really funny about what we're talking about here. And I just had this epiphany because I was thinking about, you know, Russ has been in thousands probably of meetings that I've led, right? And I'm talking and stuff. I'm sitting at the table. We got, you know, 10, 15, 20 people in the room. Sometimes I'm doing it in front of the entire company. I personally don't get on the board and write a bunch of things very often. And I think I realized why just now, because I'm a lousy artist and I have bad penmanship. And I'm almost embarrassed to get up there and do illustrations to express the point. But I'm missing such a huge advantage that if I were comfortable or if I had somebody with your ability to be able to put those illustrations on the board, I'm sure, kind of like with my daughter, you know, and the video of showing her how to golf, more people would pick up the concepts that I was trying to get across than if I was just verbalizing it. And I would think that's what you bring to the table is people like me. Well, I'm sure you bring it to more of an audience than just people like me. But for people like me, this is genius.
Yes. I mean, that's the utility, you know, the inspiration that I try to provide and also, you know, when I hear someone like you saying like, I'm not good at drawing, or, you know, my penmanship is terrible. I want to tell people like, it doesn't matter, you know, just putting, when you put something like that up on the board, you've turned it into, you've changed it into words and a sound to an image. It's like an object that now suddenly you can draw lines off that object. People see it. It's up there permanently. And so you have the power to, it's like hypnosis in a way. You know, you can put a word up there and it stays up there. And the whole time you're talking, that word is up there, or that little stick figure. And the other thing I tell people is like, when you're, you know, bad at drawing, so many people think they're bad at drawing. When they see your drawing, often they're not judging. They're not thinking like, wow, what, this guy's the boss? What a terrible stick figure. Like, I think they're usually, it's kind of some relief of just like, ah, yeah. And so I think in a way it's rapport building, you know, it's being courageous. And of course, you know, if it's appropriate to bring in somebody like me who is going to add some aesthetics to it, you know, and I have experience, you know, there's a lot of room between, you know, bad stick figures and, you know, a crafted, graphically recorded, you know, session. You know, there's everything in between, but even the bare minimum, it has a lot of value.
Yeah, I do have to add though, my record in Pictionary is not that bad. So, you know, I'm probably on above 500 in Pictionary. So I'm not that bad, but I do think it inhibits me getting up on the board. I think it is my own little insecurities about how I draw.
That's a vulnerability. Like, you know, being vulnerable in front of the staff like that, that can be a little difficult, but it could be like Drew's saying, it could be a good thing. Where I have it is here, like at my house. Like my wife's an amazing artist. And then, you know, I've got my kids who inherited that from her, not from me at all. So I go draw something on the fridge and everybody's like, no, that's dad. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. I get made fun of all the time for my drawings. So. I've got that. So I guess if Greg, if we're ever going to have this kind of meeting, we got to bring Drew in for it.
Well, if we're ever playing Pictionary, you and I probably should not be on the same team.
That's true too. So
I teach this. I teach, you know, graphic recording and visual note taking. And one of the I hope memorable things I tell people from the beginning is it's not Da Vinci, it's demeaning. Like, you don't need to be Da Vinci. Think about the meaning. Like that's what the important.
That's a good line.
Yeah. So you're not only Greg. So here's what happens. A little behind the scenes on this show. Like, you know, we go to commercial and then, you know, we have these little conversations. In, you know, like while we're doing the commercial, right? Well, Greg said, "Oh, well, I want to ask you about this," and now I'm just totally stealing Greg's question. So sorry, Greg.
Wow.
Right. Unless you want to ask it, you can. Okay.
No, yeah, I'm a giver. Go ahead. I'm a giver.
Do you do this over Zoom?
Oh, what a great question, Russ! Wow. Wow, that's amazing. That's really insightful. Thank you for asking that. So few people ask that question.
Only the smart ones.
So before COVID, probably 3 or 4 years before COVID, I work a lot in the innovation space. I work, I'm capturing sessions where there are entrepreneurs, or maybe it's one company and they're looking for the next disruptive technology. And so that was in my mind. And so even before COVID, I was already seeing the future where maybe I do this in a virtual world. Maybe I'm drawing, you know, with headsets on. I was working at YouTube at the time, and I went to the person, you know, that I was working for there, the team. And of course at YouTube, they have this giant screen for these client presentations. And I said, "Hey, I'm looking to the future. Like, would it be okay if I just, as an experiment, try to capture digitally?" And so, rather than on paper with pens, I have a pen drive for my laptop computer, and so I started doing it then, and it was so bad at first. I mean, bad in that I'm so quick with pen and paper. To change the medium, the tools, it really was tough to keep up, and it made me kind of respect like how much I had learned and my skills. But over time, you know, like this is my saying, you get better at what you spend your time doing, you know. Right. So I had that a little bit in the bag, and so when COVID happened and my live work went to none, zero. You know, I started doing some sessions via Zoom, and I can change my camera so that instead of seeing me, you see my desktop and what I'm drawing. Sometimes people want to have that live where you can kind of spotlight my video. Sometimes I just send snapshots of what I'm doing and you know, someone can share it. And now kind of as we, I don't know, in the post-COVID world, I know we're still in it, I guess, but now the live work is coming back, but I'm still doing some digital capture.
Well, I'm going to make Russ super happy because we are finally going to get to one of his favorite topics of improvisation, but not until we take a break. So when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about improv, not just what you're doing to, you know, with your improv group, but how it actually works into some of these sessions. So can't wait to get back and talk a little improv. Welcome back to DIY for Business. Russ and Greg here. Again, find us on thebestbusinessnetwork.com or electricast.com. Either place, you're going to find a number of great shows just like DIY for Business. At least I hope you like DIY for Business. And today we are with Drew Merritt. He is a visual practitioner as well as an improvisational coach. And Russ has been working with Drew for a number of years now. I've been lucky enough to watch some of the shows that they've put on before COVID. And I can't wait to go back and see one that they're going to do now that we're kind of a little bit past COVID and we can do these public affairs again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, Drew, tell us a little bit about how you work with the improv, you know, class. And how does that infiltrate into kind of what you do for these corporations at these sessions that you work for them?
There's a lot of improvisation in the visual work I do in that. The first one that comes up is just being okay with mistakes. You know, when I'm doing visual capture, I'm going to make mistakes. You know, I'm writing words quickly. I'm working in ink, so there's
no going back.
You know, the wrong line, or you know, or something. Yeah. What's that?
There's no going back. You're in ink. Yeah.
Right. And I do have some like white labels that I can kind of erase, but that's time consuming. And when I can, being an improviser, I like to do what improvisers do, and that is like make your partner look good, you know, justify those mistakes so that it looks like you meant to do it. Or even though, you know, somebody saw the mistake, they're used to you going, oh no, I made a mistake. And, you know, but to see you kind of joyfully go, well, I'm just going to turn it into this guy's hair, you know, that can be a really delightful experience. It's great, I think, in an improv show, but it also really works, I think, in what I'm doing. When people see, they can see what I did. They can see, wait a minute, you weren't trying to draw his hair, you know, that, I think, and even to learn graphic capture, I've had to make a lot of mistakes. I've had to do a lot of, in improv, you're making up a scene, you know, you're just making up drama instantly. And sometimes that works out great. And a lot of the time it doesn't. And that's part of improv. You know, it's a little bit of a roll of the dice, hopefully with building improv skills, your batting average goes up. But you're always facing the unknown together with someone when you're going to improvise. And similarly, when I'm going into these sessions, I don't know exactly what's going to get said. And so maybe a speaker doesn't show up. There's all kinds of things that can happen. And so I have a lot of sessions that I've captured that afterwards I'm like, the client's happy with it, but I could have done better. Here's what I would, want to do for next time. Or
I feel like the thing that I've brought in, and this is sort of what you're talking about. It's the whole yes and thing, right? It's like, and that's what I feel like where meetings go. I love the whole feeling of yes and, where like I've said this at the beginning of meetings where, okay, let's not say no to anything in this meeting. Let's just say, okay, yeah, sure. Let's just go along with it. You know, let's just continue and go forth. And I feel like that's sort of what you're saying too, with the lines that becomes the hair or, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Let's just keep going. And if that line can be, you know, hair, well, then what else is true? You know? So it's like, I think all of those lessons too kind of come into play. And somebody said, I've never done improv. And I said, well, you have. You do it every day because we're not reading from a script, right? And I think you originally told me that at one point. And it's like, you know, with these meetings and when you're having meetings and trying to get ideas out there, because really that's what we're talking about today, is getting those ideas out there and just being real receptive to those ideas and just being, okay, let's just continue. Let's see where this goes. You know, like if we could start a meeting with every, it's a blank sheet of paper and at the end it's filled with great ideas. Like, oh man, how great was that meeting, right? And right, those were meetings. I got to compliment Greg now. Those were a lot of your meetings. You know, we did come up with some great ideas at the meetings. Now it wasn't you taking notes because, you know, the messy writing, but I took notes and I drew the occasional burrito as well, of course, because that's what I was thinking about, because that's what we go for afterwards.
Let me reciprocate the compliment, because one of the things that I saw kind of in your evolution, Russ, as a manager, was that you took that mantra of, you know, make who you're working with look good, right? That you learn from improvisation. You were always a really supportive manager. But once you started improv, you really took it to another level. And I could visually and see the response that your team have when you kind of pick that like I said, that mantra up, is that you're always making them look good. It was not about you taking credit for stuff. It was about your team. It was the individual that contributed, whoever collaborated with you on a specific project. And at any public affair or even just a meeting with me, you, and one of your team members, you would always make them look good in front of me or in front of the entire company. It doesn't matter who the audience was. And I know you picked that up through what you learned with Drew at improv.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, it's funny that you recognize that, because I have intentionally tried to do that, where I take that whole, let's make the other person just look better. And it does, as in improv, when you make the other person, you're caring for that other person, it just lifts up the whole scene. And it's just everybody's better. It lifts.
And
it lifts
your team is willing to run through a brick wall for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all thanks to
you. Yeah. Several core, you know, tools, lessons of improv, that there's, you know, yes. And that you mentioned, Russ, you know, the idea of, you know, just saying yes to somebody's idea and building on it, you know, taking what somebody's saying and, you know, building on it. Listening, you know, is a huge improv skill, right? Mm-hmm. And then making your partner look good, you know, as you just mentioned, those are all there. I mean, I think they're just great things to do as humans, but they're great in a work environment where you're trying to accomplish something together. Those are things that help you move forward. Listening, making each other look good, you know, you trust each other, you know, building on ideas. I know in the innovation sessions I've captured visually and some which I've led, I do some applied improv, you know, work. You know, yes and is something that has really worked into business culture and into a lot of sessions. Mm-hmm. They'll, you know, right before a brainstorm, hey, let's talk about yes and. It's really, spread into the business world.
Yeah, and it's... Yes, and it's great. I mean, it really does. It really does help in, especially like I do these daily stand-up meetings, which I don't know, a few shows ago I said, oh, I'm introducing to this new team. I'm starting, you know, stand-up meetings with them. And one of the things there that I always try to do is that yes, and like, let's just, you know, and if there's a problem, we'll write it down. That's fine. But let's just try to be super like, motivated to move forward to you know, figure out like what is next. If you know this is going to happen, well, hey, why can't this happen too, right? Like let's continue that. So it's a little bit of yes and it's a little like this anything is possible thing. And I think it's just a real great attitude to have when you're working with a new staff, a staff you've been working with, whatever it is.
I have a question that I want to ask both of you. I have an improv question I got want to ask both of you. What do you do with somebody when you're in a scene and they're stuck?
That's a rough one. Should we answer this so that I mean, I feel like, oh man, should I answer this or should Drew answer? I feel like Drew should answer this first, and then I'll completely agree with him and just say, yeah, that's true.
I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot, Russ. So, So just to kind of make it more specific, you know, if Russ and I are in an improv scene, And Russ just stops talking. You know, I can see he doesn't know what to say. I think I'm going to do my best to make him look good, you know, and maybe I will interpret his silence as maybe a comment on what my character just said. You know, oh, Russ, I can tell you're completely stunned by what I just said. And
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what just what pops to mind. Of course, in the context of a scene, you're going to have all the things that happened before in that scene, and the things that's there to help both of you. I think it's a common misconception. I think people think of improv as that you're up on stage alone. You have to be funny. It's you and the audience. And I try to disabuse people of that. Like, the audience is there, but really that scene is about you having fun with your partner and the both of you, you know, creating something together, and the audience gets to peek in.
Right. I always, when I get into that position, like, of I'm in a not so great scene and I can kind of feel it, and the person doesn't know what to do, I just try to lift them up if I can, you know, like make some funny joke or pull the attention over to me or give them something. Just give them something that is so low hanging fruit that they can grab. All of that, of course, is coming into your mind all at the same time. So it's like, what do I do? And it's so dependent on that exact situation and that exact night. Because this is the weirdest thing about improv. Like, we'll do 2 hours of scene work, and at the end, Drew goes, "Oh, well, you know, give me some highlights from the night. What did you guys think was fun?" And I'm sitting there like, "I don't remember anything." Like, it all goes through, and you're so in the moment, which is weird, that kind of everything just passes through. And it's weird. It's almost like I want to take notes. Improv. Maybe I should do this visual illustrations video, right? of what I'm doing. But it's so hard to remember what I did. But the funny thing about that is it actually makes me more comfortable doing different things, because if I'm not going to remember that, nobody else is either. Like, if it sucked, it's gone. If it's funny, they might remember it. Or if it's good, they might remember it. Yeah.
That's true.
All right.
Now,
well,
I can see how improv has really, helped you. And I see it with other people we know have also done improv with Drew. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them grow as people in business. So just as a plug, not just for Marin Improv, but for improv in general, if you're a business person, I would encourage it. I think it's going to help you just interactions and communication and just making you sharper and thinking and being, you know, very in the moment. As Drew is saying, you know, listening is so important in improv, and listening is very important in just communicating. And especially in business, you have to listen and be, you know, very into the moment. So I think a lot of the skills that, you're teaching Drew really work in the business world as well. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There's so much overlap. And as I mentioned, I do some applied improv in organizational contexts, and there's a lot of benefits for teams, for brainstorming, for, you know, communication the culture that organizations want to maintain and build, how people relate to each other. It's a lot of value there.
Oh yeah. It's just it's a great bonding thing. So, that's the other thing. I love the people that I get to hang out with every Wednesday night to put together these crazy, silly scenes that we put together each week. Drew, there's so much to plug here. So for on the visual side, the visual practitioner side of your life here, they would go to, and I wrote it down earlier, but I've made a bunch of messy notes.
Merit. Right,
Merit,
right.
Illustration.
Meritillustration.com.
Yes, okay.
MERIT. There's other Merits out there with two R's and two T's, but I'm a one of everything, Merit.
One of everything. I love it. And then also there's the improv here. And this is, this is Bay Area. But if you're here in the Bay Area, specifically up in like Marin, Sonoma, maybe even San Francisco, head up to Marin Improv and check that out. You can just Google that. MarinImprov.com, right?
Improv
Marin. Am I saying that wrong? How long have I been going there?
I think Marin Improv might be routed to Improv Marin, but Improv Marin.
Okay, there we go. So be sure to check that out. Drew, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you both.
Thanks a lot, Drew. Take care.
And yeah, you thank too. You for Bye. Listening, subscribing, and reviewing DIY for Business, part of the Best Business Network and Electricast Media. The subjects that we cover on the podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow. All of the information provided is opinion-based, and you might want to consult a professional to discuss your exact business situation. Greg and I want your company to succeed, and we are happy to take your questions. Just head over to our website, DIYForBusinessPodcast.com, and we will answer those questions. Just fill out the form there. It's going to go right here to Greg and I, and we're happy to respond to you. We love talking to business owners as well. So if you're a business owner and you want to be on the show and share your wins, your losses, your meetings where maybe they've not gone so right, or maybe they've gone really great, tell us about those. Just head over to our website again, DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electricast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electricast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electricast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electricast. There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to the Ethical Evolution. The mission is simple: to spread stories of collective change that make the world a better place. Understanding that to create collective change, we need to be the change. It all begins with us.
Electricast. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.